Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today on the Under Center podcast, finally, the Bears have spoken. What have they got to say? I'm going to break that all down with JJ Stankovic coming up next.
What it means to me to be a Chicago Bear. It's an easy question. It means everything to me.
It means rich tradition, black and blue division, defense, legends, linebackers.
The history of it. I mean, I'm a big history guy, so understanding this was one of the first franchises just kind of blows my mind, honestly, that I was able to be a part of that.
The city, just the nostalgia of playing for a storied franchise, franchise of the running back position with guys like Gale Sayers and Walter Payton and being able to follow in those footsteps. So being a Bear means everything.
I mean, what more can you say?
Welcome into the Under Center podcast, which is brought to you by the Sprinkler Fitters Union Local 281. I'm Lawrence Holmes, and luckily our guy JJ Stankovic has been down in Indianapolis talking with the Bears at the Combine. It's been a little while since we've had the opportunity to hear from Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. So that's what we're going to talk about today, including some really interesting thoughts on Mitchell Trubisky, the future, and the changes in the coaching staff. So let's get to it. So what was the experience at the Combine with the Bears like?
General. It was not full of specifics, which is what you expect from Ryan Pace down at the Combine. You know, I thought maybe the most notable takeaway I had was seeing Matt Nagy's energy. And he's always a really positive, energetic guy, Lawrence. But the way that he was talking about the 2020 season, he used the word rejuvenation. And it felt pretty genuine that he looked at what happened last year. And instead of getting bogged down by it, he looked at it and said, you know what, we can fix this. And we're going to have to get the right people in to fix this, but we can do it. And I think you could see him starting to get kind of fired up about the solutions he thinks he has. Now, it's February. Whether or not those show up in September is a different story. But, you know, kind of walking around and talking to some people down there too, the biggest thing that dominated the Combine for me was the CBA. And while it doesn't directly impact the Bears in the immediate sense, like they're not going to use the franchise tag or the transition tag, I'm writing this up for NBCSportsChicago.com this week. I think the Bears can look at this new CBA, which looks like it's on track to be ratified, and say, you know what, let's get weird in free agency this year. Because the guys, we can push the ball down the court for Khalil Mack, restructure his contract. We can do some other restructures, free up some more money. And, you know, okay, if we have to deal with the cap issues in a couple of years, fine, because there's going to be these new TV contracts that are going to be ludicrous in the amount of money that's going to go into them. So the Bears can free up some cap space and maybe get a little weirder in terms of the quarterback or a guard or whatever it may be in free agency than I thought before I went to Indianapolis.
Yeah, I remember that we were having a conversation about Derek Carr and that you didn't think that it would be possible. Have you switched on thinking that it might be possible now?
Well, it's possible if the Raiders sign Tom Brady. But at that, you know, the Bears could make that money work. I wrote kind of a crazy scenario on NBCSportsChicago.com this week looking at how the Bears could get Derek Carr and not ruin their salary cap, and it involved trading Mitch Trubisky to the Raiders, which I thought was, like, you know, who says no in that? I thought was more likely to be Ryan Pace than John Gruden. But, you know, I do think that if the Bears want to be aggressive, I think they have a better shot at being aggressive now, as the CBA, again, looks like it's going to be ratified in the next couple weeks, than I did probably before I went to Indianapolis. That, now, that being said, we're going to get into what Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy said down at the Combine, which is sort of the cold water on this. I'm like, I don't know if they're really looking for a starting quarterback.
Yeah, it does feel that way. I want to get to the Mitch stuff, but there's some stuff that stood out to me from you guys' press conferences with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy that I wanted to run past you. Now that you have a little time and space and you had a chance to go through them, I want to play for you and the listener some of the sound. The first one that I thought was interesting was Pace talking about his evaluation of Matt Nagy. Take a listen.
I don't think it's one thing or one person. I think it's a multitude of factors, and that's why.
But you're in charge of evaluating Matt in that role.
For sure.
What is your assessment there? We know it's a lot of factors, but what would you say about
Matt? I think Matt and I were both very humble in our approach, and I think we admit where we can be better. And Matt would probably say there's a couple things, areas I want to be better in, and my job is to help that. And by adding personnel moves and helping them with coaching changes, and we're doing all those things, everything we can to look back and say with no regrets, you know. And I think, look, you know, every year we go in with expectations, and last year was hard for all of us, you know, and our focus right now is to do everything we can with our staff and our players and how we're working to ensure we don't have that feeling again.
Along those lines, how much input do you have into maybe how much control Matt has over the offense and maybe pulling back if he would ever do that? Do you have input in that?
You know, I'm kind of, as we go through the coaching hires, you know, I help Matt with that and I'm sounding board for him, but with his staff, that's all him. Matt's here because he's a really good coach. He's a really good offensive coordinator. He came from a successful program, and we're very confident in where we're heading with Matt Nagy as our head coach.
What do you see in him as a game planner and a from your chair? What do you see in Matt?
I think he's excellent. I think he's creative. I think he's aggressive. I think he's solution-based instead of, you know, and, you know, I think, he, you know, obviously he comes from a good system. We have the utmost confidence in him.
I'm not surprised to hear Ryan Pace say that we have the utmost confidence in him. I did think it was interesting, though, in a session where he really didn't say anything. I mean, I've gone through it now twice, and I don't feel like that there was a lot there. But I'm glad that you guys pushed him a little bit to try and at least get a sense of what he thought about what happened last year.
Yeah, and I think the sense that I got out of it, and the sense that I think you'll find a lot around Palace Hall, is that the Bears do trust Matt Nagy. And I think view last year as more of an aberration than a sign of what's to come. And, you know, look, it's only 2 years. We're talking about a small sample size here. But I've thought about this too, Lawrence. You know, if we're talking about the three pillars of the Bears organization in terms of the team they're putting on the field, Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, Mitch Trubisky, who do you trust the most out of those in order? To me, Matt Nagy is by far the guy I trust the most. And I think you heard that from Ryan Pace, like, hey, we trust this guy to get this thing right. And you heard it from Matt Nagy in terms of some of the solutions he's looking at, bringing in guys who he knows but hasn't worked with, like Bill Lazor and John DeFilippo. I think that is a sign that Matt Nagy said, you know, looked at it and said, yeah, a lot of it was the scheme, was the coaching last year. Obviously, they need better players. They need better production out of players. But the Bears, without a lot of flexibility on this roster, do need to, you know, if you're going to figure out a way to change things, it's with coaching, and it's beneath Matt Nagy. And I think what you heard from Ryan Pace is that Matt, you know, he trusts Matt Nagy to make the right hires on the coaching staff, to make the right decisions in terms of who is calling the plays. And I think that is where the Bears kind of start 2020, is with a trust that Matt Nagy is going to get this thing right.
Well, let's talk about some of the staff changes, because Matt Nagy discussed those too. Here's what he said about all the moves that were made.
Just as, you know, you see a lot of these teams that are moving into these different types of positions with coordinator roles and expanding in some of that. For us, we're still kind of working through that. The one thing that I really like is, you know, people say, is there too many cooks in the kitchen and all that? I couldn't disagree with that more. I think that for us, there's a lot of great ideas. For me as a head coach, what I'm trying to do is I want to become the best possible head coach I can be. And by doing that, having guys around me that I can delegate and give things to is important. So whether it's we don't have the run game coordinator title, but we have guys in Juan Castillo, Clancy Barone has a great background in that. Bill Lazor can oversee really everything. So we're all having great ideas. John DeFilippo is a coordinator, so I'm just trying to use all of those and balance how that works together. But I'm doing a lot of listening, and I think now's the time to do that so we can collaborate, figure out what went wrong last year, and let's fix it. Let's be about solutions.
JJ, a cynic, would say it's interesting that they don't have a run game coordinator because maybe clearly he doesn't want to run the ball, so he doesn't need anyone to help him coordinate it. What did you think of the moves that they made and the explanation that was given? And it's been a weird, 8 or 9 weeks from them having the end of the year press conference where people are like, are you going to make changes? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, well, we're evaluating everything. And then you look up and then coaches have their offices in their car and they're on the way out. And this was really the first time that we'd had a chance in long form to hear from either Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy about why they made the changes that they made.
Shout out to Adam Hogue, by the way, for prefacing a question to Matt Nagy that we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the coaching changes were made, and which happened a couple hours after that press conference. Look, I think that the lack of a run game coordinator to me is not too big of a deal. I think what is more important is moving Dave Ragone to the pass game coordinator and then getting John DeFilippo to come in as the quarterback's coach. So now you're kind of seeing what the passing game structure and the structure around Mitch Trubisky is and how it's going to change. From the first 2 years, it was from top down. It was Matt Nagy to Mark Helfrich to Dave Ragone to Chase Daniel to Tyler Bray around Mitch Trubisky. Now, to get down that way, it'll go Matt Nagy to probably Dave Ragone, number two, to then maybe Bill Lazor getting in there as the offensive coordinator, then John DeFilippo, and then, whoever the backup is probably not going to have the extensive knowledge of Matt Nagy's offense that Chase Daniel and Tyler Bray had. That's okay. So it's a different structure, and I think you had to change the structure around Trubisky. You also had to change the structure around the run game. And for as good of an offensive line coach as Harry Hiestand was, if the Bears really did stake a lot of the run game on him and Mark Helfrich, they didn't get the job done. So does a guy like Juan Castillo, who does know Matt Nagy, who does know the offense, has worked with him before back in Philadelphia, how does he come in with some different ideas about the run game and then throw Bill Lazor's input in on it as well? I think that's going to be really interesting to follow. So while they don't have a run game coordinator, that's okay. What they need is the right structure in place around the quarterback and the run game. I don't know if they have that, but they've certainly done a lot to overturn that structure around both those things.
Fire sprinklers don't work without water. Get your building's fire pump tested ASAP. Go to sprinklerfitterschicago.org or call 708-597-1800. Sprinkler Fitters Union Local 281, protecting Chicagoland for over 100 years.
There's a lot of talk by Matt Nagy about the idea of consensus, and we have this big group and I'm looking to learn different ideas. Do you think that, for lack of a better term, his ego will allow for those voices to be more dominant?
That's the big question, because every coach, every NFL coach has an ego, every college coach, every football coach has an ego to an extent. But if you are able to put that aside, that is where you can really do some great things. I mean, look, Matt Nagy's mentor, Andy Reid, gave up play calling during a season to Matt Nagy, and it wound up helping the Chiefs get into the playoffs. That, for a coach to do that, you have to swallow that ego and say, I got to do what's best for the team. Matt Nagy talked a lot about fitting his offense to the players the Bears have, which was not the case last year. We beat a dead horse on that, where Mitch Trubisky's saying, hey, I want to do this, and the Bears maybe aren't doing that as much as you might think. So how do all these new coaches come in and help fit Matt Nagy's offense to the players that he has? I think that is where Nagy's going to have to really remove his ego, because there have been plays that Matt Nagy has had in his mind since 2013, when he was the Chiefs' first year as the Chiefs' quarterbacks coach, working his way up in the Andy Reid system. Hey, this thing's going to work. Alex Smith ran this thing great, and you know, I know we can run it. I know we can run it. Maybe it's up to Bill Lazor, John DeFilippo to be like, can't do it. Mitch Trubisky can't do that play. We got to throw it out. Even though it might be a staple of what you think this offense needs to look like, we got to throw it out because it's just not working. That is where these discussions are going to have to be frank. They're going to have to be tough. And yeah, I mean, I the one thing I will say about Matt Nagy is that if I were to trust a young, hotshot, offensive-minded coach to swallow his ego, I would trust Matt Nagy to do it. Because just based on the fact that Andy Reid was his mentor, Andy Reid is a guy who will swallow his ego to do what is best for a team. And I think that that might resonate with Matt Nagy as he kind of thinks about it. He talks with Andy Reid, you know, whatever it may be that, you know, hey, we just got to do what's best for this team. The other part of it too, I mean, Matt Nagy's ass is on the line here. Can I say that? I don't know. I just did, sure. Whatever. Sure.
You can say on the line on a podcast.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly, Lawrence. It's kind of on the line here because if this offense isn't good again in 2020, there's no guarantee he's going to have job security.
No, you're right. I hope that, and I hope that he does see this as an opportunity to allow other voices and other eyes to be on what his offense is. Now, JJ, there was one piece of sound that I listened to that had I had a remote control in my hand, I would have thrown it across the room. It's a Ryan Pace-ism, and it's something that he does a lot. It's deep in this cut, but it's there, and it's omnipresent whenever he talks about Mitchell Trubisky.
I think, you know, every quarterback is growing in different areas, and, you know, a big growth for a quarterback is what you're talking about. You understanding coverages, mastering your offense, being comfortable with all the new things coordinators are throwing at you. You know, I reflect back, I remember with Drew, he went through that in 2004 in San Diego, just immersed himself in that. And I think that's Mitch's mindset right now, just being obsessed with learning NFL defenses, mastering our offense, and when you do those things, allows you to play faster and with better instincts.
Right, with Mitch, you've stated your belief in him as the starter for the season, but do you want him to feel that belief, or do you want him to feel the pressure of competition potentially coming in?
I think, you know, it's for us with every player, it's a combination of everything. You know, like we believe in him, we're going to support him, we're going to be better around him, but I think competition brings out the best in everybody.
If I have to hear Ryan Pace compare Mitchell Trubisky to Drew Brees one more time, I'm going to lose it. And I get that that's his frame of reference, that he spent a lot of time with Drew. I think that you are putting undue pressure on Mitch by continuing to compare him to one of the greatest quarterbacks who's ever lived.
Lawrence, 3 years ago at the Combine, we heard Ryan Pace talk about how he wants, you know, he's looking for a guy who lifts the profile of a college program, which is what Drew Brees did at Purdue. Maybe if he really wanted the next Drew Brees, he would have taken a guy who lifted the profile of his college program.
Yeah, instead of the guy that had
went
to
8-5
2 years
behind Marquise Williams and went 8-5 at North Carolina. We're not here to relitigate the 2017 draft. Patrick Mahomes, by the way, did not lift the profile of Texas Tech, for the record. But
Deshaun Watson did, though, at Clemson.
Yep. I don't know why I just did a motion of, like, my lips are sealed when the listeners are not viewers, but whatever. So, look, what Ryan Pace said about Drew Brees, he immersed himself in the offense. No one is questioning Mitch Trubisky's work ethic. That is, I mean, his work ethic, who he is as a person, a teammate, beyond reproach. By all accounts, he's a great guy. He's a great teammate. Guys really want him to succeed. The worry is that does Ryan Pace want him to succeed so badly that he cannot have an unbiased view of him? Because he's such a good guy. I staked my career to him. If he does well, man, it's going to be awesome. The city's going to love him. But if you have an unbiased view of Mitch Trubisky, he had one of the worst QBRs in the NFL last year. He was dead last in yards per attempt. The unbiased view of Mitch Trubisky also looks at the film and says, hey, that throw against the Chargers that to Teo Gabriel that he overthrew that probably would have won us the game, he's got to hit that. And big-time quarterbacks make that throw. Patrick Mahomes did it in the Super Bowl. But he's got to immerse himself. He's got to know the offense. Quarterbacks develop at their own pace, all that. You know, okay, maybe they do. But if your quarterback hasn't developed in year four after drafting him, he's probably not going to develop into the guy you think he is with your team. It's going to happen elsewhere because that's what happened with Drew Brees.
And that's it. And if you wanted to say Alex Smith, like, I'd even be okay with that. Like, I get it. A guy who got better and was serviceable and even good at points in his career, but not arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. Like, stop doing that. Like, stop bringing up his name. Because every time you bring up his name and then I go and watch a Bears game, I go, no, there's no Drew Brees in there. There's nothing going on that resembles Drew Brees. And I just wish he would stop using that crutch. It's an easy crutch, and it's one that I think infuriates a lot of Bears fans.
Well, I mean, look, if the Bears were targeting a guy to be their next Drew Brees, like we were talking about, they're targeting a guy who's on his second team at that point. So Mitch Trubisky is still with the Bears. If he goes to a second team, I can't believe I even have to explain it. He's not going to be with the Bears. I mean, right. Alex Smith, same thing. Like, if Mitch Trubisky turns out to be Alex Smith, he will have a good NFL career, but that means he's probably not going to do it with the Bears. It's probably going to be somewhere else. And I think the Bears need to approach this by, when we talk about the competition aspect of it, where, you know, Pace was asked about competition and by Chris Emma from The Score about if you want Mitch to feel that pressure behind him or if you want him to be comfortable as a starter, Pace again kind of spoke in generalities, didn't do a whole lot to, like, you know, light a fire under Trubisky maybe, and said, you know, we want competition all over the roster. Yeah, you do, but you didn't. Trubisky has never had competition. When he has become the starter, he has been the starter. There was no replacing him with Mike Glennon in 2017. There was no replacing him with Chase Daniel in 2018 and 2019. So if the Bears, and I do think the Bears are going to add someone to compete with him, but we're not talking about, hey, we just traded for Derek Carr, you guys battle it out. We're talking about, we're signing Case Keenum to a $5 million one-year contract, and he's going to go into camp as the number two, not 1A, 1B.
Well, let's hear from the coach on this, because this is where I thought things were really interesting. A couple things that were said by Matt Nagy. Now, this isn't new. He had discussed this at the end of the year, that there were some places where he'd like for Mitch to get better. But here's what he told you guys at the combine.
Yeah, we had at the end of the exit interviews that we had with those guys. I mean, I meet with every single player and every single coach. And, you know, you get some valuable time with them and spend some time with Mitchell and him understanding us, basically just talking through what he needs to do here in that time that we're not allowed to be together. And the one thing that he is able to do is get onto the film on his own and really hammer through, you know, what he's looking at. Now, I think that for him, the processing part is what you have to get to a point to where you're so obsessed that no matter what you're doing, you're always watching film. I mean, we're at a point now where, hey, in these next several months before they get back in here, April 20th or whenever that is, he's a complete expert at knowing he needs to know it better than me. And I think that's the goal. And he'll tell you that wasn't the case last year. That's not a slight on him. He's in year two of it. But I want him to make sure that's where he gets to in the future. He is young still. And I know we keep saying that, but he is. But you also now you give direction, and now he needs to follow it. And that's going to be what we're really focused on is making sure that he does that. And don't worry about results. Who cares? Worry about the process. And if he does that, we'll be in good shape.
I hear a coach that's, even though publicly he is being supportive, is growing increasingly more frustrated that his quarterback isn't where he wants to be. Am I misinterpreting that?
I don't think so. I think it's very much a message to Trubisky, like, hey, look, you are not doing the things that we expected you to do. And you can, like, I think Nagy actually did a good job of saying that within the context of, we needed to coach better, we needed to have the players around him play better, but saying, yeah, it was on the quarterback too. I think the Bears so often, and this doesn't just apply to the Pace, Trubisky, Nagy trio, this goes back a long way in franchise history, can justify poor quarterback play because they well, this year we didn't have a run game, or this year we didn't have the right players around the quarterback. You know, just continuing to justify poor quarterback play with the rest of the team or the coaching staff is how you get in a mess where the best quarterback you've had since Sid Luckman is Jay Cutler. Like, that is where, that is how you get in this situation as a franchise. So the Bears, I think Nagy maybe started to do it a little bit. You know, let's stop justifying how bad our quarterback was last year. Let's just point out he's got to be better. And yes, we need to coach better. Yes, he needs better production out of tight ends, where the combined totals from that room are less than what Trey Burton had in 2018. We need better production there. We need our wide receivers to actually run the right routes and not have a ball tip off their hands like Anthony Miller had in LA that leads to an interception. We need that. But we also need the quarterback to play better. And we can't justify the shortcomings of Trubisky only by saying the rest of the roster needs to be better. I think Ryan Pace still was doing that in his press conference. I think Nagy moved a little bit closer to not doing that. And I think maybe he's looking at it and saying, you know what? I don't know if we coddled Mitch the last couple of years, but we told him, you're our guy, you're our guy, you're our guy. Maybe this year we tell him, you're our guy, but, which is what I think the scenario is, because whoever they bring in for this quote-unquote competition, that guy is probably going to be capable of playing if Trubisky is not good during the season. Whereas last year, there was no chance they were going to bench Trubisky for Chase Daniel. This year, they could bench Trubisky for Case Keenum, Marcus Mariota, if they take a quarterback in the draft, whoever that may be. That is a legitimate possibility. That is a legitimate thing that Matt Nagy can do that he could not do the last 2 years.
And I think the last piece of sound that I want to play for you is him talking about new quarterback coach John DeFilippo. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's connected to what we're talking about. I think that the Nagy wants to be in a place where he can still be the good cop. And I think now he went out and hired a bad cop.
Yeah, he's had a really cool path as well. He's, again, worked his way in this league for a long time as a quarterback coach, then went on to be a coordinator. And now he's at a point where we've always talked about working together. And so what I see with him is somebody, and to each their own, but he's a guy that comes in as a quarterback coach that there's going to be real big with drill work, with fundamentals, with really seeing the field. And we talked about with Mitch with processing and being able to understand that. He's an expert at that. And that's no slight to Dave, because Dave's in a great role now of schematically in the passing game. But sometimes, you know, for all of us, if you hear a new voice, sometimes it can help. And I think that Flip is I like his aggressiveness as a teacher. And you guys are going to see that in camp. You're going to take notice in that. I think that sometimes with all different positions, I'm not just saying the quarterback, but with all different positions, you can say, okay, we're going to take the gloves off, right? And we're going to get at it now. And I think that Flip in his DNA has that. And you'll see that, and you'll take notice.
If I'm Mitchell Trubisky and I hear that, I go, oh, okay. All right. So they brought in someone who's going to be tougher on me than what we had seen from Dave Ragone or from Matt Nagy. I like it. I like that you bring a little sandpaper into the locker room and to that position group in particular. DeFilippo is also known as a guy who's pretty creative. Mm-hmm. You know, he has a really good, he's good at teaching. I know that when he was with the Eagles, I'd watch his breakdowns that he would do on the Eagles offense all the time. And even I got what he was trying to get across. But it felt like to me that this was another case of Matt Nagy pushing, as you said, like forward with it and moving farther away from we're just going to coddle him to, okay, well, now you're in year four and we need to win because, as you said earlier, his ass is on the line. So I need you to win. So I'm going to push you and I'm going to bring someone in to push you.
Yeah, and John DeFilippo has a really good reputation around the league as a position coach. Not necessarily as a coordinator. Obviously, what happened with the Vikings was pretty rough with his disagreements with Mike Zimmer, then getting fired from Jacksonville. But as a position coach, yeah, he has that reputation. And I think you hit it right on the head, Lawrence, that you bring that sandpaper in there instead of kind of, oh, it's the guy who you've been with for ever since you were drafted in Dave Ragone. And we've got a really positive, supportive voice in Chase Daniel who knows the offense inside and out. We're bringing in this guy who sort of knows the offense, knows a variation of it, but mostly is here to make you a better quarterback, and we're going to go about this a bit of a different way. And Matt Nagy can still be the good cop. He can still be kind of the head honcho in terms of overseeing everything. But if Mitch is missing throws, I don't want to hear from John DeFilippo that other quarterbacks miss throws or it's all part of his development. I want to hear from him. He's got to hit that throw. And, you know, we've from Dave Ragone, talking to him, Ragone was very reticent to ever criticize Mitch Trubisky in some of those media sessions we had with him. And maybe some of it was wide receivers running the wrong routes, wrong protections, whatever it may be. But he was very hesitant to criticize Trubisky. I'm interested, the first time you get to talk to DeFilippo during the season, if it's coming off of a bad game from Trubisky, how does he sound? Because that, I think, could be a really telling thing into his coaching style. You know, we'll see it at training camp a little bit. But in the season, when your backs are against the wall and your quarterback is not playing well, what comes out publicly from DeFilippo? Because the one thing, I just thought Mark Helfrich came really close a couple times to criticizing Trubisky publicly and then realized I should probably pull back because I don't have a ton of job security. But I think that DeFilippo could say, yeah, I took this job knowing that there might be a lame duck coach here and I've got to preserve my reputation. So yeah, okay, you were coddled for the last couple of years. You're no longer coddled. You're getting criticized by me publicly right now. And it's nothing I wouldn't say to your face, obviously, but all of a sudden the things I'm saying to you in the meeting room are now coming out publicly. I don't know. I will be interested if that is what happens with DeFilippo based on sort of what Matt Nagy kind of mentioned there.
So I played five cuts. There's a lot more sound. It was a total of about 37 minutes between the two guys. What did you think was interesting from what we didn't play?
So the overall takeaway I got from Ryan Pace's media session was that he is not looking to replace Mitch Trubisky as the starter. And look, I understand a lot of people disagree with that. Ryan Pace's comments are open to interpretation. I am saying that right now, that you can look at them and you can say, well, Mitch is the only quarterback on the roster, and what else is he going to say? That's fine. That is a totally logical way to view Ryan Pace's comments. I viewed them as a guy who does not want to give up on the quarterback he drafted number two overall 3 years ago and feels like if he gives up on him, it is a stain on his career and it is a huge failure. And I got a sense that he wants Trubisky to be good so badly that he will do whatever it takes to give Mitch that shot, even if an unbiased outside view would tell you Mitch has had his shot. Don't keep giving it to him. But I think Pace is still going to give him that shot. And the way he goes about that is, again, I keep bringing up Case Keenum, sign Case Keenum, someone along those lines, a guy who you will give your coach the leeway to bench Mitch if things don't go well. But Case Keenum is probably not beating out Mitch to start week one in 2020. So you are giving Mitch another opportunity. And I think that's what I heard from Pace, that Mitch is going to get another opportunity to be the starter.
How do the Bears feel about where they stand as far as draft position? Because it felt like a more positive vibe when it came to them getting some compensatory picks and kind of where they stand versus where things were at the end of the season.
Yeah, over the cap has projected the Bears to get that fourth round compensatory pick ever since they cut Mike Davis. So the Bears have known that that is a possibility for a while. They otherwise would not have cut Mike Davis when they did. So they're going to get that fourth round comp pick. That will be their third highest draft pick. They have eight selections overall. Most of them, six of them will be in the second half of the draft, which complicates things. But I feel like Ryan Pace looks at what he has and does think that there is room to make this thing work in terms of the draft. The one thing Ryan Pace always does is trade up in a draft and just burn draft capital to go get a guy who, whether it's David Montgomery or Anthony Miller or Mitch Trubisky or Leonard Floyd, hasn't quite worked out the way you would think he would. So if I'm Ryan Pace, I look at this year and I say, we got a lot of holes. We need to build some more depth out at the bottom of this roster. We got to hang on to our picks. Maybe we even trade back. But that's not really in Ryan Pace's DNA, is it? So maybe he takes that fourth round comp pick, pairs it with a second rounder, and they move up in the second round. Or he takes that fourth round comp pick and packages it with a fifth rounder, and all of a sudden they're in the third round. And whether they wind up getting the next, you know, Anthony Miller, a guy who's okay as a rookie, a pretty decent contributor, or the next Jonathan Bullard with that pick, you better hope it's more toward Miller, and probably better than that if you're really going to sacrifice more draft capital, because they don't have the depth on this roster to really sustain another year like they had last year, where you had some injuries, you needed guys to fill in, and they didn't quite have that depth. And you need to build that through the draft, and you need to build that with higher selections on the sixth and seventh round.
I know that you've got all sorts of draft stuff that you're already working on to get Bears fans ready, but with an early glance, what positions do you think are strengths of this year's draft?
I think wide receiver looks like one, and I think that's good because the Bears can probably find a speedy receiver in the second round if they want to go that route, if not in the fourth round, a guy who can kind of replace Taylor Gabriel in that role. The tight end class is quote-unquote weak this year. There's probably not a first rounder in it. Some people may look at that and say, well, that means the Bears can get a good tight end in the second round. I think drafting a tight end in the second round and expecting him to be really anything more than a role player is a really dangerous proposal. I did some research on this, Lawrence. Over the last decade, the average numbers for a tight end drafted in the first two rounds of the NFL draft, 44 targets. This is as a rookie, sorry. 44 targets, 27 catches, 306 yards, 3 touchdowns. You're not talking about getting 50 catches and this impact guy. You know, there are far more mediocre dudes as rookies than there are George Kittles and Rob Gronkowskis and those guys. So the Bears need to be really cautious if they're saying, hey, we can fill that need for a tight end. We can fill it with a second round pick. I think they can address it with a second round pick, but the view should not be that this guy is going to solve everything. The one other thing, Lawrence, that I want to get into with this draft is looking at some of the interior offensive linemen, because the Bears have invested a lot of money into the offensive line. It has not really panned out the way that you would think with the investments they've made. I do think that because you're paying Cody Whitehair a lot of money as an interior offensive lineman, you probably are going to go the draft route to fill that, maybe sign a veteran on a cheaper deal and then draft a guy to fill Kyle Long's spot. I think that's probably a good route to go. I think you can, as the Bears saw with Cody Whitehair, you can find a pretty good guard in the second round, if not center or James Daniels, whoever it may be. I think that's a good route for them to go with one of those two second round picks, but I haven't quite got into the offensive lineman yet. We got 2 months until the draft, so I'll get into it at some point.
Yeah, we do. And maybe we'll chat again when the CBA is either rejected or ratified.
Yeah.
It seems like it's moving towards being ratified, but then there are players that are starting to jump onto Twitter saying, don't vote for this thing. It's going to be an interesting week or two when it comes to that in the NFL. JJ, as per usual, thank you for the great hustle and the great job down in Indianapolis. And I'm glad that you made it back before that snowstorm hit, because that was wild.
That was driving on 65 even yesterday, not fun. Do not drive on I-65 between Indianapolis and Chicago if there are even flurries. It is a terrible road to be on at any time when there is snow on the ground.
Agreed 100%. JJ, thank you. That is JJ Stankovitz, our Bears beat reporter. Read all of his content on NBCSportsChicago.com. You can check out even, you know, other podcasts that JJ is a part of as well right here too. Thank you for listening. Give us 5 stars, please. Write a nice review. It helps. It helps with placement. Tell a friend about the Under Center podcast, because we give you all the Bears content you want, and we do it all the time. So as we get closer and closer to the draft, you can expect that JJ and myself will be involved heavily in the coverage for NBC Sports Chicago. Thanks for listening.